Welcome to Acorn to Oak with Penny Quayle Pierce and co-host Matthew Donaghy. Within each acorn, there is the DNA that strives to be a mighty oak tree. All it needs to reach its potential for greatness is to be activated. You are the acorn. On this show, we will share with you the tools and guidance you need to grow into the person you are meant to be. And now your host, Penny Quayle Pierce and co-host Matthew Donaghy.
Hi, good evening and welcome to the show. It's great to be back, and I suppose we've got a little bit of a similar topic that we're talking about this evening. We're actually talking about ayahuasca this evening, and it moves on quite deliberately from talking about the shaman last week and the shaman's tools. And obviously, it's one of the biggest tools for shaman. And, you know, it's a truly amazing plant medicine. And, it, you know, it's very, having taken ayahuasca myself a couple of times, it can take you to a very deep and intense healing experience. But it's, you know, the worst thing about I felt with ayahuasca was the purging. And do you really need to throw up your guts and have spend a few hours near the bathroom just to gain that deep, intense healing experience? And so I thought Matthew and I would discuss it, you know, the pros and cons of drinking ayahuasca. Well, as far as I'm concerned, the cons is you vomit. And you have diarrhea, and I looked at it in the experience. Luckily, I'm the type of person who actually, as soon as something hits the stomach and it doesn't agree with me, I'll actually vomit it. So I didn't experience any diarrhea with ayahuasca, but I know a lot of people do. And it's looking at, you know, the results and the benefits and where you can actually go with it. So I just wanted to allow Matthew, that sounds really grandiose. Yeah. That's a bit grandiose.
Let me out the box, yeah.
Excuse me, it's making me cough now.
So good evening, everybody. Yeah, it's a subject I love because it's not something I've done myself. I've obviously done a lot of research and spending time with Javier and Jess and obviously Luke and Penny. I've heard a lot about the experience, and it's that sort of thing. If when I go to Peru, Javier says he would recommend it, I would do it. But there's a part of me that would hope he would say, no, you're all right. but it is just such a profound experience. When you look at all the research that's done and the difference that an ayahuasca ceremony can make, and for me there's a huge, again, looking and listening to different people and different people's point of view. My view on ayahuasca is it should be a very deep and profound experience. It's not just something you go round and do round your mate's house so you can have a wild experience, because for me a lot of the power and profoundness you get from doing ayahuasca or doing a process is the shaman that's taking you on that journey or holding the space for you, because they're the expert in the field. And I've always thought I wouldn't want to go and do it unless I knew that someone was pukka. But I know there's this huge wave where people sort of do it at home and have a negative, or do it with mates and have a negative experience. And I think it's the same case with DMT, which again it's used in ayahuasca. It is a chemical that's naturally produced in plants. And there's a lot of research done in what could be true about DMT within humans and what couldn't be. And I wouldn't like to confirm any of it, but the truth or the information that seems to come out is that it's a chemical that's produced within the pineal gland at the point of death, and it's given the name the spirit molecule because it's said to help you pass over. And that makes great sense with when you look at ayahuasca and the journey you take with that, but it's for a certain reason. So again, there's lots of people that will smoke DMT and think it's a great psychedelic drug and that sort of thing, and I think it's using something how it should be used, the traditional way. So when a shaman uses it, it's for a purpose, and I think again a lot of people go out and use it as a psychedelic and as just a drug. For me, spiritually, it doesn't feel right, but that's just my opinion. But what I find fascinating is the huge change people make within their lives when they have that clear out of old self, but also that spiritual connection. It's like that huge healing of self, but almost, for want of a better word, almost like being reborn, because it's like shedding the sack of crap that you've been dragging around your whole life and thinking, well, who is Matthew now? Now I've dealt with all of the trauma and the crap. Who am I now and where am I going? So, but there's a real sort of connection with the two. And I know, obviously, we'll go on to mention later, but we've seen the same in other tools that we use. But I think ayahuasca is such a powerful tool because it goes back so far. This is like an ancient knowledge. It's a knowledge that we all used to have. When you look at plant medicine, there is from a shaman's point of view, a cure for everything. There is a plant that can be mixed with something else that will create a cure for everything. And the proof in the pudding of that is the results that you could see all over the internet of people's experiences. Some go for mental health issues, some go for serious physical pathologies, and there's been cancers that have been reversed, there's been brain tumours that have been reversed, and it's like all the juicy, amazing stories that we should be hearing about in the news, but we don't. And that's, for me, what really made me want to do the show, because it is such a powerful experience and one that I'm yet to experience, but I'm well aware I've experienced something close, if not on par with. So it's, and obviously working with the shaman, working with Javier, what they told us about the work that we do as well, again, it gives you that sort of warm, fuzzy feeling inside, because you realise, well, we're not shamans, but the work we're doing is in line with it, and you can have that experience without the purge.
I would probably say that. No, we're not shaman as in plant shaman. We're definitely not that, although I'm a homeopath. So I'd heard of ayahuasca before I actually went to a ayahuasca ceremony. But I would say that we're energetic shaman. And I think Javier would basically agree with us on that one. Because... you know, it is all about making sure that you help people acknowledge their worth. You create inner confidence. You know, you repair people's self-image. You know, you quiet the inner critic. You know, and it's very much, you know, Breath for Life breathwork is very much, I would say, on a par with ayahuasca. And it was really interesting when you shared with me last week, and I won't mention his name because obviously confidentiality, but the chap who shared that, you know, a breath work, and he had done ayahuasca, was up there with ayahuasca. He'd never had such an amazing experience. And obviously you were his coach. So maybe you should talk about this and not me.
Yeah. And it was just that's what he said. He's tried some really wild things. This is a guy who's had a lot of trauma in his life and has looked down every avenue. And he said up until the point that he tried a Breath of a Life session with me, ayahuasca was the top. That was the number one that blew everything else out the water. And he said our session was on par with that. If anything, it was just a bonus because he didn't purge. And he said that the difference is you can, obviously, the timing with the shaman, you're there for a lot longer and the process is a lot longer. And he was blown away that you could still deal with stuff just as profound as he had done on ayahuasca in a short two-hour session. But he said it was just incredible because the only thing he could put it on par with was ayahuasca. And it was like seeing his eyes light up and talking about the huge spiritual connection and how that's the thing that really, it proves to people that they've had a profound experience. And it shows the huge shift in people as well. And it's something I've experienced many times over the years, but when somebody shifts that amount of stuff that's been holding them back, it leaves room for, like I say, that spiritual connection. And I think a lot of people that, as I was saying earlier, try DMT or are interested in ayahuasca, it's kind of like, I think a lot of people think they're just interested in the trying it for the what is a spiritual experience, but it's making them realize that actually you can have them totally natural and in a safe space, because it's something that the shamans are absolutely adamant about, and anybody who works in this kind of field will tell you the same thing. Is one thing that the practitioner or shaman has to have for the client or the person in front of them is unconditional love, because it's the most powerful vibration in the universe. And to have that level of profound healing, unconditional love was front and center. And it is that person that's working for you has your life in their hands, for want of a better expression. Whereas you don't get that round your mate Gary's house on a Saturday night. You won't get that at a festival. You won't get that experience from somebody who's not pucker. And so that's kind of what made me really passionate, because I think I consider myself very, very lucky that I haven't been pulled off in the wrong direction. So for a long time, in my late teens, my friends were talking about spiritual stuff and DMT and ayahuasca and all this kind of stuff. And it just wasn't on my radar. It didn't hit home. I had the chance to try it. I just wasn't interested. And then years later, now I laugh and I'm grateful for that, because I didn't need that experience at that time with those people. If I'm to have that experience, it's going to be pure and it's going to be with a shaman. And my preference will be Javier in Peru. But it's that I'm really grateful, because I've seen a lot of people that have tried it and had a bad experience, and that just pushes you further away. And I've seen people that have had damage from doing some of these psychedelics and having a scary trip. And that's what I mean when it's kind of, if you're with a shaman, you can get through anything and you could get through your worst nightmare. Again, when you're around Gary's house on a Saturday night, it's just going to scare the shit out of you and you'll never go near anything again. And I think it's a real shame that people miss the gold and the spirit side of it that is just so important, because that's the best bit. Let's face it, if you're going to puke and you're going to purge, you don't want to be put off because you've done it in the wrong environment or in the wrong way. It's that whole law of sod it. If you're going to do something, give yourself the best possible chance of having a good experience.
Well, you know, the last thing you want is your mate hanging over your shoulder and saying, ooh, he's puked carrots. In the middle of having what can be a huge spiritual experience. The last thing you need is someone judging you. And the last thing you need is somebody, you know, who's got a lower type vibrational environment. And it's really, really difficult to get this through to people, I think. And, you know, if you've got low self-esteem issues, the last thing you want is to be doing this in public and you feel unsafe. And, you know, one of the things at Acorn to Oak that we absolutely insist on is that the space is absolutely the highest vibration possible. And, you know, and actually, you know, as I said, if we cannot unconditionally love somebody who's coming into one of our classrooms, then we highly suggest they go somewhere else. You know, if there's a personality issue or something that's winding the facilitator up, then we won't hold that. You know, we'll just say we can't do this right now and make sure that a different facilitator comes in and facilitates that person, because it's absolutely essential that people feel safe and they feel secure and they know that the person who's leading them on a Breath for Life breathwork or any real deep work can hold the space for that person so that they can feel safe and secure and reach for the stars, basically. And, you know, that is very, very much where we're at.
Yep.
So here comes the break. So we'll be talking to you after the break.
Conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
I'm Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life. Ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility, knowing you are supported by the universe.
We are talking about your life. Ever wonder, is this as good as it gets? No, it could be so much better. At Acorn to Oak, we know you are seeking more happiness, joy, unconditional love, financial freedom, passion, and purpose. Find your unique mojo and live an extraordinary life. Want to know more? Contact us at our website, acorntooak.org.uk.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part. Because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
So hi, it's Penny and Matthew. We're talking about ayahuasca. We're also talking about breath of life, breath work, because that's our obviously our expertise, our area of expertise. And I suppose very much it's a case of comparing and contrasting, really, more than anything else. And, you know, as you've heard before, I trained as a homeopath back in the 90s. I mean, that's a long time ago now. So in the 90s, and learnt about plant medicine, but not to the degree which shamans do, because obviously we're looking at it from making homeopathic remedies. So it's a plant that's been in my consciousness for quite some time, and you know, as I was saying, I have absolute respect for it and absolute respect for shamans who use it. However, as I said, for me, the purging was very much as soon as it hit my stomach. Then I think I managed to keep it down for about 10 minutes, and then the purging, or should I say the vomiting, happened. And then I was talking to Javier, in fact, only last week, where somebody during the satsanga, the question and answers that we were holding, actually asked the question of, you know, should you really fall asleep after taking ayahuasca? And he basically was saying that it wasn't usual to do that. However, and I basically felt his eyes boring at me through Zoom when he said it. However, I have known a couple of people do it. And I must admit, I laughed because he was talking to me, because it was at one of his ceremonies that I fell asleep. And unfortunately for me, I'm not a quiet sleeper. I snore quite loudly because I have a blocked septum in my nose. So here am I, obviously getting people in touch with any frustration that they needed to feel, because I'm lying there going at the top of my and Luke was, my husband, was actually doing the ceremony too, and was lying next to me, and he said, it was like I had a megaphone next to my mouth making it even louder. And Javier shared with me afterwards, it was like the whole room was reverberating to me snoring. And so that was my experience with ayahuasca, or should I say the first experience I had with ayahuasca. And he basically said it was because you were so exhausted, the plant gave you what you needed. And it was true. I was running Acorn to Oak single-handedly in those days. I had hundreds of students, which I needed to coach and basically encourage. Luckily, I didn't have a three-year-old son then, so I was spending most of my time encouraging them or coaching them, and it was exactly what I needed that weekend. I needed deep, peaceful sleep, and I'll say that that's exactly what ayahuasca gave me, was the experience where I could go deep within myself to nourish myself. And I was already a devotee of Paramahansa Yogananda's, and it gave me huge connection with my guru, and that was priceless, absolutely priceless. So I just wanted to say that before I give it up to Matthew again, with absolute grace this time. Would you like to comment on that?
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, and it does go to show that people get what they need. Every experience is different. And a good experience compared to a negative experience can mean everything. And I think it's why, again, why you should always do it with someone that is a reliable source. I mean, I remember speaking to a friend at a party last year, and they were saying that they were going to an ayahuasca ceremony. And I said, oh, let me know how you get on. And we were chatting a couple of weeks later, and they shared that at one point during the ceremony, they heard the two supposed shamans saying to each other, well, I'm just not sure what we do next. And it made me shudder, because I thought, it's awful that people are out there that don't know what they're doing. And Jesus, it literally made my hairs stand up. And that's, again, I said it earlier, that's why I'm so grateful I've had the experience I've had, because I've met pucker shamans like Javier and Jess. When you feel them, you'll never mistake them again. And if a shaman doesn't give me the feeling that they do, they're not pucker. But that's just my intuition. But I am really grateful for the experience I've got, because the knowledge they shared, and it's so similar to some of the stuff that we do, because everything is energy. So yes, they use plants and it within their medicine, but it's part of it is the energy of the plant. Uh-huh. But also it's the preparing of the plants or the energy, putting in the love, using the Icarai that they use, which again is a very, very sacred tool. It's just, they would say it's one very small thing that they do, but it's one of the hundreds of very small things that they do that make it as amazing as it is. Mm. And it is, but ultimately we're talking about energy, because everything is energy. So I know the shamans would tell you that if they didn't have that particular plant that they needed at that moment, they could still produce it and put the energy in energetically, and calling in any ancestors to help, because we forget there is no limit to the power of spirit. We often think we're human having a spiritual experience, and it's the other way around. We're spirit having a human experience, and we forget that actually we don't have any limits. And that's why I love the traditional way and the way that they talk about it, because there's no fear and there's no limits and there's none of this. It's kind of like, well, you've got that, we can fix that with this and this. And it's like they are absolutely amazing at what they do, and but they still give credit to the person as well, which again is a very traditional thing that the shaman will say, that they can help heal anyone that wants to be healed, but it's, if you're meant to stay in pain for this lifetime, and you will not go where you need to go and take the responsibility and do the work, then there's going to be a limit there. Whereas if you really embrace it and go for it, then you're going to have a huge experience. And yeah, it does just, it made my sort of heart sing when I heard that the guy had a similar experience using Breath for Life breathwork, because I know we've done some wild stuff at Acorn to Oak when we've been away on retreats, and we've done shamanic breath works and all sorts of different breath works. And it's just bringing in the energy of the shamans, and it's just wild. And it is really amazing that when you're using a tool that is spirit-led, I know Penny would say, yes, she's the founder of Breath for Life, but you're... I can't remember how you've worded it in the past. I wouldn't want to word it wrong, but it's spirits.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I think that's why it works so well, because
Why would you?
Pure genius, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Why would you mess with genius? And yeah. It's, you know, and if it's genius, you know, it's coming from one place. It's not man-made. It's coming from a totally different source. And, you know, it is so true. You know, one of the reasons why Acorn to Oak is Acorn to Oak and not the Penny Quail Pierce show is to keep ego out of the way and just go, you know, it is much bigger. You know, Acorn to Oak is much bigger than one person. It is a team of us who work together. And, you know, we affectionately call it, you know, the Buffalo. Was it the Buffalo Tribe?
Team Buffalo.
Team Buffalo, that's right. It was you who came up with the name Team Buffalo. It was one of the things that I like to talk about is, you know, obviously the buffaloes are the only animals on the planes in the United States, which turn and face the storm rather than running like every other animal, plains animal. And they turn and they face the storm. And it's like they put a perimeter around the outside of the herd of the strongest bulls and the strongest strongest buffalo. And they surround the youngsters and the older buffalo and they keep them safe. And then the leader turns and walks into the storm because they innately know the quickest way to get through the storm is to face it and move through it rather than running from it, because the storm will catch up. And it was around the symbology of this that, again, that's, you know, Matthew picked up on that when I was talking about it once and suddenly went, oh, Team Buffalo! and that's how Team Buffalo within Acorn to Oak was born, was very much a case of, yeah, you know, that's what we do at Acorn to Oak is we turn and face the storm. And, you know, the facilitators and the guides and everybody else makes the perimeter and we move through it, basically holding everybody else in unconditional love and moving through and making everybody safely. You know, I suppose we're also very much like the Marines. We don't leave a man behind. We don't leave a soul behind. And we don't leave anybody who truly wants to do this work in any doubt that they have the help and the support that they need. Yeah. And that's very much where, you know, I look at some of the other things. And I have worked with quite a few people who have taken psychedelic drugs and helped them ground themselves again, because unfortunately if you take a psychedelic drug, and I'm talking about a few people who came to me after taking LSD, is that they, you know, we don't understand the damage energetically that we do to ourselves by ripping, you know, the silver cord, you know, by going up into spirit too fast, not knowing our way back. People who have then gone into comas after taking drugs and doing, you know, soul rescues on them to bring their soul back into alignment with their body. This is real difficult stuff. And, you know, if you're working with ayahuasca and you've got, as Matthew was saying, a pucker. By the way, pucker in English means really good. Yeah, with thumbs up, really good. it's a real slang word for English, but I'm just making sure you guys understand where Matthew was coming from on that. So if you've got a really good shaman, so I'm putting my thumbs up here, a really good shaman, they will help you navigate through your experience. And that is what is so, so important. You know, because energetically, you know, we want a clean exit and a clean re-entry. And, you know, no messing about, no hanging about, no collecting, you know, shrubs on the way or whatever. You're coming back in clean. And, you know, that's what I trust. You know, you trust the shaman with your life. but not just your life, your mental health and your, you know, your vibration and your connection, not just with yourself, but also with the whole of, you know, creation. And it's really important there, as Matthew was trying to put his point across about, you know, don't do it with Danny on a Saturday night when you've just come home from the pub. Not a good idea.
No, it's like when you go on holiday, you look at all the places you want to go and you book with a reliable tour guide that you know is going to get you there and get you back safe.
That has not necessarily been the experience that some people had leaving the UK and going on holiday to Spain. They arrived in Spain, and of course Spain is locked, you know, still has a bigger lockdown than we have, and most of the hotels were closed. So we had this experience of having a lot of Brits sleeping on the beach in Spain, which was probably not a great idea, seeing we're all meant to be social distancing.
No, but that's what they did in this country, to be fair. You got a social distance. Right, everybody go to the beach. So, a certain group of people, you just have to laugh at, I think, or find the humour in their behaviour.
The great thing, I think, more than anything else, and the one of the biggest things that has helped me in my life, and I'll tell you after the break.
Conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers, pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
We are talking about your life. Ever wonder, is this as good as it gets? No, it could be so much better. At Acorn to Oak, we know you are seeking more happiness, joy, unconditional love, financial freedom, passion, and purpose. Find your unique mojo and live an extraordinary life. Want to know more? Contact us at our website, acorntooak.org.uk.
Long ago, you wouldn't think of galloping on a horse while doing calligraphy, and you wouldn't have attempted to ride your bike while typing a letter. Yet you think you can safely operate a multi-ton vehicle while texting? Behind the wheel is no place to multitask. If you want to BRB, drive now and text later. Lives depend on it.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Well, during that break, I was just laughing to myself because I was, as soon as I said I was going to share with you something straight after the break, I suddenly, halfway through the break, suddenly went, What was I going to talk about? What was I going to say?
It's not just me that does that, then.
completely lost the plot there. And so, of course, as soon as the music started, I suddenly went, oh, yeah, I remember now. So it's just like having this small brain fart. Don't worry about it. So, yeah, one of the biggest things, I think, for me was to get the real grip and a real sense of, you know, you can love someone, i.e. unconditionally love someone, but you may not like their behaviour. And, you know, behaviour is not the person. The behaviour can always change. And, it was one of the most liberating things I think I ever heard in my life. Because, you know, I loved my parents, both of them. I loved them, really loved them. And they, you know, they did the best they possibly could do. But I did not appreciate some of their behaviour. And some of their behaviour, quite frankly, was so Victorian, it was untrue. And, yeah, I was the youngest of four. So, you know, I was probably... They were older parents when they, you know, obviously they got round to me. And it was really quite bizarre. And feeling the real difference between the generations there. And, you know, when I actually got to grips with knowing that I could love them, I could appreciate them, but I didn't need to agree with them or actually like some of the behaviour that they did. And it wasn't my job to parent them, you know. It wasn't my job to tell them that I didn't appreciate their behaviour. You know, I learned very much that actually, you know, some opinions you need to keep to yourself. And it was one of those lessons that actually I didn't need to hurt them. I didn't need to upset them. I didn't need to be critical of them. I just needed to love them. But as I said, I completely and utterly modelled my behaviour on other people who I respected 100%. So Mahatma Gandhi, you know, Mother Teresa, you know, Paramahansa Yogananda, all of these people who actually exhibited empathetic and compassionate behaviour. That was much more where I went with that. And I think, you know, when we actually get to grips with that and realise that, you know, you don't have to correct people. So if you feel that you need to correct people, then, you know, turn it around and just see that mirror. And what do you need to correct in yourself? You know, If you need to be right all the time, what part of you is so fearful of being wrong? And just looking at, you know, some of the judgments and some of the stuff that's going on in the world right here, right now. And, you know, and on social media, it's the usual hate fest. And you just look at it and go, you know, if I'm feeling hate towards somebody, then what part of myself do I hate? If I'm thinking someone is evil, where is the evil within myself? And, you know, very much, and it was delightful when we had some conversations with Javier and Jessica. And, they, you know, it was great to see them looking like nodding dogs when they were listening to how I was explaining things, and they were just saying, yep, that's the shaman's way too. And, you know, it's really, it's finding the love and the compassion, you know, when people turn around and are frightened of love, you know, you look at them and go, okay, we've got some work to do here. That's okay, we can work with this. And, you know, it was really interesting when, you know, looking at different things and definitely on my journey of looking for people in my life, mentors and teachers in my life. And, you know, I've been so lucky. I've had a few. One of the biggest teachers, I think, in my life is Paramahansa Yogananda and Sri Yukteswar, very much on a spiritual and divine level. And, you know, again, I was lucky to do some work with Donna Eden, who is an absolute genius with energetic stuff, but very much to do with the physical body, rather than the, you know, teaching you energetic stuff that will help your physical body gain health. And then I was lucky to do some work with Barbara Brennan, who was the NASA scientist who basically wrote the book on energetics in the 90s. Mm. I think probably in the 80s, actually, and it didn't probably hit general consumption until the 90s. Then Christina Thomas-Frazier, who basically introduced me to the power of breathwork and very much that part. So I've been really, really lucky to have all of these people have an input into who I am right here, right now. And it's really inspiring to have that. And, you know, I'm also very, very lucky to have Matthew in my life, because Matthew has been a long-term student of mine, but he doesn't let me get away with much. Let's put it like this. He will question and question until I actually sometimes have to redefine something or find another way of explaining something. And in that, he forces me to go to my higher self. And, you know, your higher self is part of who you truly are, which is part of your soul. And he's made me get really good connections with spirit, which I thank him for greatly, because that's exactly what your students do. It's like they're at your heels, so you have to make sure that you're 100% in integrity and 100% able to anticipate what questions they're likely to come up with next. So,
yeah, it's like you create monsters, and then you can't complain about having monsters around you. It's like, but that's the great thing, because it's it's an amazing journey, and when it's pure and it's fun, then you get the most out of it. I think when I first met Javier and Jess, I remember just feeling the energy of them, and what I loved about them, which is a huge difference from lots of people, I'm sure everybody sees them on the internet, the ones that call themselves healers. Javier would say he is able to help you heal yourself. Any energetic expert, anybody that works in the holistic field that knows their stuff and is a pucker, will tell you the same thing, that we're only healers for ourselves. And these people can help us heal ourselves if we take responsibility and do our part. And it's the thing I love, and it's sort of the difference. Again, this is my personal opinion, but it's the difference for me between spirituality and religion. And I'm only talking about my personal experience, but I've heard a lot of people sort of say, oh, well, God will save me, and I'm just here to live a shit life, but God will save me in the end. And you hear it so often that it's kind of like, well, I don't need to do anything because God's got it. And it's kind of like, really? I mean, really, really? Like, and the arrogance is, you think you're that perfect that you don't have to do anything. And it's like, yeah, but there's the biggest thing I loved about spirituality is taking responsibility for stuff that's happened to you, and taking responsibility for the behaviours that you formed around that trauma. I know I had. And sort of Penny referenced it earlier. The thing I've found really helps me to have unconditional love with more people and clients is the worse their behaviour, the more pain they're in. Mm, and the worse their behaviour, generally, if their behaviour is worse than yours, pretty likely they've been through more than you have. So have a little more patience and see what they have to say. And it can be a hard pill to swallow, because you do look at some behaviours and just think, that's unacceptable, that's not right, that person shouldn't do that. But, and I'll be honest, a big one for me with that was domestic violence, because even when pushed to the absolute limit, and I have been many times, I would never ever put a hand on a woman. For me, it's fundamentally wrong and you don't go there. And to be honest, we shouldn't really put our hands on anyone. But it's that you shouldn't do it. And I have a massive problem with it. However, I understand it's a learnt behaviour. It's not something, you're not born that way. And if you see your dad doing something, chances are you'll probably end up doing it yourself.
And also, if you received that type of violence yourself as a child, then, you know, it's not just learnt, it's ingrained. It's just a way of
being. It was the solution, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it was no solution, don't get me wrong, but in a child's mind, well, that's what stopped the situation, or that's what stopped the situation. So we learn these things, and often we're treated that way. And I know I've done it myself, but the last thing you would want to do is treat anybody else the way that you've been treated. Somehow you do.
Absolutely.
And again, that's a hard one to swallow, but you take responsibility for it and you do the work around it and you do the healing work. And that's, again, when Javier and Jess and Peruvian and Shames do these processes, they're behind you, and that's what makes it so amazing. I'm still dubious. I'm well aware. I'm not sure whether it's going to be next year, but the year after, I'm going to be going to climb Machu Picchu, because I have a bet with an old friend and a client on that one. So I thought, you can't go to Peru and not visit Javier and Jess. So I know it's on the cards.
Absolutely. And it's the only thing for me is because I'm very, very fair skinned, and it's the thought of the humidity. And Javier was basically saying to me, well, Penny, he says, do a few more courses and you'll be able to buy your own. Oh God, my brain's gone again. Generator, which can provide air conditioning when you hit the Amazon jungle. I can see myself in a space suit with cool air going round. Well, hey, whatever, you know, I don't care about fashion. So if I have to wear a spacesuit, then that's what I'll do. But it's just reminded me of a great quote. I can't actually remember who it was, but basically someone saying, you know, the most important thing to remember about God is he doesn't have hands. So we need to be his hands.
I think
it's a brilliant quote. And I can't remember whether that was the absolute quote, but I may have paraphrased it. But, you know, it's absolutely true. We expect this guy, or Mother, Father, God, to pick up everything that we have dropped, but they don't have hands. So we have to take responsibility to pick up the mess that we've made and pick up the mess that our family makes. And at the moment, I'm thinking very much about picking up the mess that my son makes. But he's only three, so he's got a mama to do that for him.
I might get the story slightly wrong, but it reminds me of the one where there's a sinking ship. And the people are slowly getting rescued from the boat, and there's a religious man on board, and he keeps standing back and letting other people go. And they say that the last lifeboat's coming in. So the guy says, no, you, everybody go first. God will save me. And that's all the time he says, God will save me, God will save me. And then the lifeboat goes and a helicopter comes. And he stands back and says, no, God will save me. It's okay, you go. The helicopter leaves, the boat sinks, and unfortunately that guy passes away. And when he has his set to with God and says, you were supposed to save me. He said, I sent a lifeboat and a helicopter. What more did you want? And it's just that it really hit home for me. And it thought, yeah, that's the irony of how we see life,
So on that, we'll leave you for another week, and we'll be back next week. I hope you've enjoyed the chat, and again, take care of yourselves and stay safe.
Take care. We'll speak to you next week.